In Galatians 3, I'm going to look at verse 26. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." All of those who put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, who was our kinsman redeemer. That's what the book of Ruth is going to talk about. Boaz, you know the story, the kinsman redeemer. Amen. So those of us who have put our trust in Christ, who by his work redeemed us. Amen. Those of us, hallelujah, it says, are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, I love those words throughout the whole New Testament, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. I encourage you, if you ever want to do a really good study, just go through the letters of Paul. And everywhere he said, in Christ, just take a look at that. Okay? Think about this. Everything that Adam lost for mankind, Jesus won back. And everything, all of the fall of the sin nature that was in Adam was passed to the rest of us. But everything that Christ Jesus did, see, none of us could be religious to get there. So many religions try to work their way to God, never feeling good enough, never feeling right. Always, do the next thing, do the next work, do the next work. But praise God, I'm so glad Jesus, the answer, came to us. Amen? And he fulfilled all of the law that we who are in Christ, we become with him, in him. Amen. So when God sees us now, hallelujah, he sees not our shortcomings, not our failures, church. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ because we are in him. As many of you have become sons of God, watch this now. Many of you are sons and daughters of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who were baptized into Christ, baptism is an open show of our identity. We identify ourselves with Christ. Do you know what? God identifies you who believe in Christ with Christ. He doesn't identify you with your sin or your past. He identifies you with Jesus. We are in him. Amen? For all, hallelujah, who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Man, we're free to sing songs like this, where we can openly express our oneness with God Almighty, who have walked behind the veil into the presence of God and enjoy his presence. Why? How can we have confidence to walk with a holy creator? Why? Because Jesus, what he did. We've been baptized into Christ, becoming with him, one with him. What he did was given to us as a free gift. Now then it says this, verse 28. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Do you know, I look and study a little world history and been traveling some and different things. Every other religion of the world puts women down. Muslims have them walking way behind them. Other religions always putting them down as a servant or slave. Only Christianity, the truth of God's word, Jesus Christ died one for all. And men, women, Jew, Gentile, all who come to Christ are one in Christ, equally righteous by the blood of Jesus, because it's his righteousness given to all. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. In the spirit realm, praise the Lord, we are one with God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So women, happy Mother's Day. The Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't put you down as a second-class citizen in some religions and some people. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female in the spirit. Because when you received Christ, you received all of his righteousness, just like any of us. Amen? Isn't that good news? I love it the way our Lord Jesus chose to reveal himself, the risen Savior. After he conquered sin, he chose himself to first reveal himself to a woman. Amen? Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Hey, give God glory for women. Amen? For loving women. Amen? We thank him, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Neither Jew nor Greek. Gentile, it's not about that. It's about being one in Christ Jesus. And it says this, verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That promise given to Abraham, hallelujah, was a foretaste of what's coming, that he was going to bless all nations through him. And he did as Jesus came. Now this gospel of salvation is open to everyone. And we who have received Christ, praise God, are children of Abraham and heirs according. The promise given to Abraham is now given to all of us. Why? By our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. The two have become one, Jew and Gentile, one body of Jesus Christ by our faith in him. Glory to God. Now, the story, the book of Ruth, amen, explains this kinsman redeemer so clearly in the love, amen. And it's a beautiful story of mother and daughter-in-law, Naomi and Ruth. Let's turn there. Ruth chapter 1, okay? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip there. I want you to see it along with me, or maybe you have it on your phone. Amen. The Bible says, in the days when the judges ruled. Now, we know where this book fits right in. It's right after the book of Judges. The days when the judges were ruling the tribes of Israel. They didn't have kings yet. King Saul hadn't come yet. Saul, Solomon, David, it hadn't come yet. It was first the judges were there. God, the people were being oppressed by the enemy. God would raise up a judge who would give them victory, and they would have victory for a while. In the days when the judges ruled, and during this time, sometimes they were following God, and sometimes they were following the ways of the world around them. So sometimes they had, from according to the Old Testament, the blessing of God on them. And sometime during the judges, they had let themselves go, not follow the law, turn to the ways of the things of the world. And the enemies would come in, but God would have mercy, raise up a judge who would raise up an army, defeat the enemy, and they would have peace for a while. Well, in this time of back and forth of many judges, in this time, the Bible is saying here, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Verse 2. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. And the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. And they went to live in Moab and lived there. Now, we're just going to look at this story. You know, everything in the Old Testament, I believe I stressed this Wednesday night to some. Everything in the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus, only it's concealed until we get it by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Everything in the New Testament is Jesus revealed. I mean, he walked among us, you know? Praise God. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story of Christ, but then Paul goes deeper, you know, and goes deeper into it and shows what it means. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, you have all of these stories, but after we understand and we're born in Christ, have the mind of Christ and the Spirit of Christ in us, it opens up the scriptures to undersee it was all about Christ all along. So the book of Ruth, we know, is a story about the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, redeeming the family, hallelujah. And Boaz is a picture of Jesus redeeming, amen? Buying back, purchasing, winning out. In these days, now we have Elimelech and his wife, Naomi. Elimelech's name is the strength of the king. But the king he's talking about here is the strength, his own strength. Elimelech is going to operate in this story in his own strength. They leave Bethlehem. Bethlehem means celebrated or praised. Of course, some of these names are prophetic of what's going to come in the future. Of course, Bethlehem, we celebrate as the birth of the Savior. So it's always been celebrated and praised ever since then. So they leave Bethlehem of Judah. Of course, Judah means worship. And they go to Moab, which actually literally means from the father. It has relation to incest because it goes all the way back to Lot, you know, and his daughters who, you know, after Sodom and Gomorrah and went into a daughter being drunk to try. The daughter was trying to, you know, have a child, and there was no other man around, and went into that. So the child was Moab and then Ammon, where we get the Moabites and the Ammonites. So Moab, that name, that land, is associated with the world, or from the fallen from the father, incest. Okay? So now look at this. Elimelech, this whole picture, this story in a general sense, picture this. Man's fall from the garden. Man's fall from the garden, the first man, sin, broken that relationship from God's presence, where God's blessing, where God's favor is, and there's famine in the land. Mankind was left with an emptiness. This famine speaks of the famine in the heart of man. And since that time, man has been longing to fill that void, to satisfy his hunger. So we have Elimelech leaving the place of God, okay, leaving and going to the world to try to satisfy his hunger. We have Adam, you know, who was expelled from the garden. Adam fell into sin. Mankind and God no longer had a harmonious relationship because God is holy. Man was now sinful, had to leave the garden where the glory was and go out into the world. Now the world has the curse of sin in it. It's no longer producing abundance, but thorns and thistles, and it's a struggle and the toil. Well, here is Elimelech, a picture of that. Leaving the presence and abundance of God, going to try to find satisfaction for his hunger in the world, and goes to Moab. All right? Now he goes with his wife, Naomi. Naomi's name is a picture of what's to come. It's the beauty of God's grace, hallelujah, is what Naomi is speak of. But here we have fallen man. Naomi, the beautiful grace of God, representing here man's soul in relation. Now watch this. Man's soul, in relation with our own fallen sin nature, Elimelech, could not produce anything with lasting fruit, lasting value. All right? So it's a picture of mankind fallen away from God, and man's soul being with man's sin nature together. What kind of fruit did that produce? Well, it produced their two boys, and their two boys' names actually mean sickly and failing. See, the names in the Old Testament stories actually prophesy what's to come. And the names are sickly and failing. Then the Bible says there, the marriages of the sickly and failing, and their wives, they married people from the world. Orpah, which means stubbornness, and Ruth, which means friendship or companionship, prophesying about what's going to come in the future. It actually produced no fruit whatsoever. Okay? So we have Elimelech, fallen man, the sin nature, along with his soulless realm. Together, there's no spiritual fruit. And the two that they have are sickly, diseased, and failing. You hear me? Okay, you can try and stress through religion. You can try and stress through things of the world. You can stress for your right to work, to climb some sort of ladder and success, but it doesn't produce anything of eternal lasting value or fruit in the kingdom. So here they are, and they have these two, sickly and failing, who marry women of the world. And in that women of the world, you know what? There is no fruit there. Neither of them have children. Okay, so they're off in the world, there's no lasting fruit, and now they're there, and the Bible jumps in this story, paragraph one, it jumps right into what's happening. So it says, they went to Moab to live, then verse 3, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, stubbornness, and the other Ruth, friend or companion. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, now the famine's over in the land, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from where they were. With her daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah, the land of worship, the land of God. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husband?" You know, they were talking about trying to keep the line of the family going for the inheritance that God had given each family line, that they could continue that. And without a son, they couldn't continue it. "Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. And even if I could have a husband tonight to birth sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is better for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." Verse 16, but Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you." Then Ruth says these famous words, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now, just think about this. Here we have a picture of the spirit of man in Ruth, the soul of man in Naomi, connected with the fallen nature of man, Elimelech, producing no fruit whatsoever. But you know, the spirit, your spirit, the spirit of every living soul, listen to me now, hear from the Holy Spirit, amen? Hallelujah. The spirit of every living being, even the fallen man, longs to know their Creator. Something in mankind, because it was paradise lost. It was relationship with God lost and broken by the fall. But all mankind has a hole in their heart, spirit, desiring to be back right with their Creator. Church, that's why there's so many religions in the world. Man has a need, a hunger. There was famine in the land. His soul desires to be satisfied, to be fed, to be put back into right place with God. And they went looking, but they went looking in the wrong place. They went looking to the world. They went looking to the gods of Moab. They went looking to false religions. They went looking in every other place. But the spirit in Ruth longed to be right with the one true God. She connected to Naomi. There was something about the presence of God in Naomi's life that Ruth connected to and desired and said, "You know what? You've been with me all this time. We've seen tragedy. We've lost your husband. We lost our husbands. But there's something about your testimony. There's something about the Spirit of God in you that I know that I need. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to be with your people. Your God, I'm not staying with these false gods of the world or religion. I'm going to find the one true God. I'm going with you." Amen? Hallelujah. So, praise God, they journey back. Where are they going? They're going back to Bethlehem, to Judah, to worship, to praise. Hallelujah. And then, amen. So, Naomi and Ruth, soul and spirit. Naomi comes to that place where she gets back in town and they're calling her Naomi, which is, you know, beautiful grace of God. But she recognized in her despair, "You know what? Don't even call me that anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitterness. You see, my husband's gone. Our sons are gone. There's no children or grandchildren to take over the allotted inheritance from God in the land of Israel for our family. It's over. I have nothing." You see, what happened in Naomi, she came to that place while she's out in the world. She came to the place and recognized, "You know what? I have nothing. You know, we come to that place where we recognize, hey, the religion of the world couldn't do it. My religious steps couldn't make it. You know what? I've got to look to the one true God. I got to look to grace. I've got to come knowing I have nothing and lay it out and say, unless for grace, getting what we don't deserve, I have nothing. It's at that point, at our lowest point, where we realize, I can't make it without you. It's only you that can save me. Naomi comes to that place. Call me Mara. Call me bitterness. I have nothing. There's nothing left here. But yet Ruth, a faithful companion and friend, stayed with her. And then things, you know what? When we come to that place where we're down to the point where we're looking up for truth, where we're looking up to the one true God, amen, he meets us in that place, he draws us, and he begins to reveal his grace to us. Let's look at the rest of the story and see what happened here. Everybody with me? Y'all okay? So in chapter 2, Ruth meets Boaz. 2:1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick some leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Now, folks, God had a way of taking care of the poor in the Old Testament. Okay? He told his people to go over the fields once. Don't harvest the corners. And leave to let the gleaners come. And let them come and take from the fields. And you know, it was a good thing. It was a way, it was a welfare system of the day. Let's take care of the poor. Now they had to come and they had to get favor of the owner. They had to ask. Amen. And then they had to glean. They had to work for it too. That's a good thing. Amen. So they had to ask. They had to have favor. So Boaz was a man of strength. His name means the kinsman redeemer. He's a man of well standing. He's respected in the community. He's of that family line. Okay. He's eligible in the family line to be a kinsman redeemer. You see, if the family line was broken, a brother died, someone died, father, there was a kinsman that could come and could take the wife into his home, his land, and have a son, and that way the inheritance in the family line could continue. They would redeem that. Amen? Now, Ruth and Naomi had been off. They come back, and there's, you know, without a son to farm the land, to grow, to help without the help there. You know, they're like, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to live? How are we going to eat? So she says, I will go and look for favor of where I can glean. And don't you know God had set it up? She goes into the field of one called Boaz, who was a wealthy man, who was blessed, who was a good man, who had the qualities and of God, of generosity, of blessing, of giving, of faithfulness. And there she was gleaning in that field, and Boaz meets her. And you know, soon that community begins to see Ruth and recognize, you know what? This young woman stayed faithful to her mother. Her mother-in-law, when the husband died, she was faithful there to help her. She was faithful when their husbands died, and she came with her all the way back here. And the community had respect. Even though she was a Moabitess woman, that community there was welcoming her and recognized when she went to go to the fields of Boaz. Boaz meets her, and he begins, and you can read through the story of chapter 2. He begins to bless her. You know, they're in despair, nothing left. They need a miracle. They need the grace of God. And yet God leads them to this kinsman redeemer. And in that chapter, you know what she sees? She begins to see the goodness of Boaz. As she's gleaning in the fields and picking the leftover wheat, you know, he begins to notice her and he begins to talk to her. And say, look, I see what you have done for Naomi. Come, you're welcome to glean these fields anytime. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell my servants not to harm you. I'm going to tell the ladies that are working with them. And look, they're even going to, they left her some extra. And she's picking up and she comes back with a whole basket full. And Naomi said, wow, you know, how'd you get so blessed? And she said, where you've been gleaning? And she said, in Boaz's field. Are y'all okay, church? Amen. Hallelujah. So she's gleaning in the field of her kinsman redeemer. Naomi says, wow, this is great news because that's one of our kinsmen, you know? So continue to go there, and she goes, and he continues to bless her. Now watch this, church. You see, it's not the fear of judgment. Hear me now. It's not fear of religious rules and codes that we're always short and falling and breaking that can keep us right with God. The Bible says it's the goodness of God, the kindness of God that leads people to Him. Amen? Really, when we go the other route, it actually turns people away and leads folks away from Him. But it's the goodness of God while we're trouble, while we had been in the land of Moab, while we've been around things of other gods and false things, God's goodness breaks through and reaches out and draws us into a relationship with Him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we got off of drugs, not after we got things fixed up, not after we cleaned ourselves up and started going to church. In the middle of our sin, God loved us and He reaches for us. Isn't that good news? The gospel is good news. It means glad tidings. It's the good news of the gospel of grace that saves us by faith in His grace of what He's done for us. Glory to God. What a description in this story, Boaz reaching out to her. Well, it goes through now, and it begins to tell the story in chapter 3 of Ruth and Boaz meeting up. The book of Ruth is, hey, y'all can read that tonight. It's only 4 short chapters. Look, I'm holding it whole in my hand in 2 fingers. It's 2 pages, front and back, front and back. Beautiful story right there. Chapter 3, Naomi comes up with a plan to give advice to Ruth. And she starts telling her and gives her some advice. You know, she says, go wash yourself. You know, and we can get into that and go, He wants us to be freshly cleansed by His grace, His truth, His word. She says, look, let's look at it in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you can be well provided for? Is not Boaz, whose servant girls you have been with, a kinsman redeemer of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Verse 3, wash yourself, perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. Man, I heard Janice and Franklin speak a word on this that stayed with me. I like to share it with you from time to time. He talks about being freshly cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the blood of Jesus that washes all of our sin away. And through, by recognizing that Christ paid the price for all our sin, now we can boldly come to God, have a relationship with Him. And then, you know, he tells us we want to wash ourselves daily in this sense. The blood washes our sin once and for all. But when Peter was coming to the Last Supper and Jesus had put on the towel and was washing their feet, Peter's like, no, no, Lord, don't you wash me. You know, you're greater than me. He said, yeah, I must wash you or you have no part in me. Then Peter, you know, he always goes overboard with everything. Well then, wash my head, my whole body, wash it. And Jesus said, look, Peter, you're already clean. Amen. By believing in me, I've already washed you. You just need me to wash your feet. Because at the time when, hey, they were dressed and ready for the Passover dinner, they had come to the guest home ready to go. But you walk through the dusty roads with sandals on. So it was customary for the lowest servant of the house to wash the feet so that they can lay, and they didn't sit in chairs, they would kind of recline at a table on the floor. So, you know, so your feet wouldn't be in the next guy's face that were full of dust from the roads. The lowest servant of the house would wash the feet. Jesus took on that role and he washed the feet. Now watch this. You, church, you have believed in Christ, you're already clean. You've been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Your sin has been taken away completely once and for all. You have identified yourself no longer with the sin of Adam. That has been buried with him. You've been in Christ. In Christ, you were buried. Your old nature was buried. You have been risen with him, and you are righteous and holy as Christ because it's his righteousness in you. Isn't that good news? Now watch. Amen. Amen. It's good news. However, we still walk around every day in a fallen world. Okay? A fallen world with the internet, the movies, the television, the people around us, all kind of things of the world, the false gods, the false religions, all kind of stuff. And some of that dust of the world might get on our feet. Amen? So some of that dust on the world of the world tries to cling to us and tries to bog us down, tries to get us wrapped up in that. So praise God, he wants us to have the daily washing of the water of the word. How are we daily cleansed, freshly cleansed? She said, hey, Ruth, go cleanse yourself. Amen. Be daily cleansed. Wash up. You're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Jesus washes us clean. And then praise God, through talking to one another, praying for one another, coming to church, we cleanse ourselves from the worldly stuff that might have got on us and be free that we can praise the Lord and continue. Amen? Wash yourself. Perfume yourself. You know, as we're daily cleansed, we're also open and ready for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living God in us. We're cleansed that we may be filled. Church, you know, the purpose of the cross to cleanse us, but the goal was Pentecost to fill us. So we're cleansed by the blood. Now we're right with God. Now we can be filled with the very Spirit of God because we're no longer sinners separated from God by sin. We've been made right, not by what we've done. We've been made right by what Christ has done. And because we're righteous now by the blood of Jesus, we can be filled with the presence of the living God. So now God lives in us. This is the body of Christ. You are the temple of the living God. That's you. Hallelujah. So he tells her, hey, go wash. Now perfume yourself. Be cleansed, church, and be filled daily. Amen. Be cleansed, be filled. What's her next advice in verse 3 as she's going to meet with the kinsman redeemer? Put on your best clothes. Amen. I'm not talking about a religious dress code here. Man, we got some come in today, enjoying their grace, wearing shorts in the summertime. That's cool. I like it. I might wear some this summer to preach. Praise the Lord. Or my sandals. Is that all right with you? Hallelujah. Amen. Come as you are. The kingdom of God is not about meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not religious codes of what you eat and what you wear. It's not about that. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit by what Christ has done. Amen? So she says, put on your best clothes. What's this? That's Old Testament. What that signifies concealed for the new is this. Put on his robe of righteousness. Amen? We are clothed with the very garment. We put on the garment of praise. Amen? We're clothed with his righteousness. He took his robe. He disrobed himself, put on that towel of a servant, washed our feet. He died for our sin. He's risen from the grave. And now he gives us his righteous robe, his righteous as a king. And we become a nation of kings and priests in the kingdom of God. He gives us his righteousness. Amen? So we're clothed with the righteousness of God. Now, Naomi is telling Ruth, look, don't be shy about this. That's your kinsman redeemer. You, praise God, you've been washed, you've been filled, you've been clothed, you can go lay at his feet. Amen. And praise the Lord. So, amen, it is the right thing. We want to be freshly cleansed. We want to be fragrantly anointed by the Spirit of the Lord live in us, fitly clothed by his righteousness. Now, let me tell you something. She's going to seek out the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. This is a good guy. This is a picture of Jesus in the new. She's not seeking some bum of the world. that doesn't know God. Let me give you a little advice for the ladies here. They put this up on the screen. I want to tell you a little bit about Boaz's cousins. Now, girls, this is for the unmarried now, okay? Look, praise the Lord. You want to seek Boaz, praise God, as you're led by the Lord. Don't seek his cousin. His cousin Brokaz or Poaz. You don't want to go out with Lionaz. You don't want to be married to Cheatinaz or Dumbaz or Drunkaz. I'm not talking about Boaz's cousins here. You don't want a Cheapaz or a Locked Upaz. Hello. Come on, this is Mother's Day. I'm giving some advice for some young ladies here. Amen? How about? You don't want to hang out with Boaz's third cousin, good for nothing as or lazy as. Amen? And especially, ladies, don't get connected with his fourth cousin, beating your ass. Amen? Okay? Wait on your Boaz and make sure you find somebody who respects your ass. Hello? Okay? Praise the Lord. Don't settle for anything short. You, Christians, praise the Lord, you have been born into the family of God. You're daughters of the King. Amen? Hallelujah. God loves you. We're not to be unequally yoked with those of the world, okay? God's got the right. You don't go seeking him. You just seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Walk with Jesus Christ and all these other things. Your right spouse will be added unto you, ladies. You don't go, I know the world thinks it's time for the ladies to make all the phone calls and do the, you know, texting and back and forth. No, no, you let God's guy come to you. I'm just giving you some godly advice. You can receive it or reject it. That's your choice, but it's from God, okay? Amen? You don't go seeking, because some folks get seeking, they think they haven't found the right one in the first 2 weeks, so now they go looking at all the different clubs and bars and stuff, and then they find the wrong one. Hello? God loves you. You're precious. Precious to him. Amen? Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So, Naomi is giving quality advice to Ruth. She goes to the feet of Boaz. There's no more sacred place than the feet of Jesus. Okay? Boaz says, look, I'll not let another day go by. I'll not rest until this thing's done. What you want, what you've asked, I'm going to honor. I am one of the kin. We have to first wait for the nearer relative of your flesh to come and see if he wants you, okay? And that one rejected her, you know? But Boaz said, hey, I will do it. I will marry you. And he took her in. And buddy, it's a blessing of the family. Now they had children, and those children became very fruitful. That union brought Obed. Obed brought Jesse. Jesse became, praise the Lord, and the father of David. And praise God, in the line of Jesus Christ himself. God let a Moabitess woman from outside the kingdom of God, from outside the Jewish culture there, to come into the family of God. And he blessed that union. He was signifying, one day I'm going to open up the covenant with Abraham, not just for Abraham's natural descendants, but I'm opening up the covenant of Abraham for all the Gentiles of the world. And this gospel of the kingdom is going to go to every nation, every tongue, and then I'm going to return. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. He loves you all. Praise the Lord.